is so good to see you here this morning. I think it is so wonderful how we have this blessing to be together each and every week. And it is such a good thing that God has given us in his church family to be able to be together. It's encouraging. And that is why we're in this series called We Are Better Together. I truly believe that it is important that we are intentional in pointing our minds to this unity as a church family and as part of the churches of Christ as a whole as well. And so it is great to be here together. You know, sometimes people within the same schools, the same school class, the same organizations, the same churches, and even some of the same sports teams get into arguments and they have conflict. It was the year 2015, so long ago. The Washington Nationals were in the home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. They were in contention to get one of the final spots in the playoffs. So every single win counted. Every game counted. Every loss counted. And the tensions among these players was high. During a game against Philadelphia, the Phillies, Washington relief pitcher Jonathan Papelbon got upset at his star teammate Bryce Harper. It was the bottom of the eighth inning, and the score was tied 4-4. With one ball and two strikes, Bryce Harper pops up a fly ball into left field, where he was easily caught out. It was a routine play. Well, on his way back to the dugout, pitcher Jonathan Papelbon was upset because Harper didn't run all the way to first. Papelbon thought Harper should have at least tried to reach first. And as Harper went back to the dugout, Papelbon yelled, "You gotta run that ball out." Harper muttered something under his breath, to which Papelbon responded by attacking Harper and choking him. Teammates quickly ran in and broke up this fight, and Papelbon was suspended for 4 games. These two guys within the same team together, who had the same goal, were ready to trade blows with one another because of a disagreement on the amount of hustle a guy was giving. Bryce Harper said in this interview following the game, well, first he was talking about the remaining 6 games, of which Papelbon would be relieved of 4 of those. But Bryce Harper said that it's like brothers fighting. Sometimes brothers fight. What they shouldn't do, or what they don't do, what they shouldn't do is divide over that. And that's what I want to point us to this morning. And so our lesson this morning is called "Go Brothers, Go Together." So let's pray together, and then we'll jump into this lesson this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the church that you've given us, these brothers and sisters in Christ that we have sitting beside us, and those that aren't here, but that we love so very much. Father, bring us to unity. Bring us to where we care about one another so much. And help us when we're struggling in that difficulty. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, go together. Jesus has chosen his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read that in just a second. He chose these 12 men to be the followers that would learn from him, would learn about his purpose. And these 12 men would come together to learn what his gospel good news was all about. And so let's read about these men in Matthew chapter 10. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. these 12 men would be Jesus' closest friends. They would go through so much together, and together they would witness these unbelievable things. What we find is that as these 12 men were chosen, Jesus immediately sends them out with instructions about their work. They were to go out and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. This work was going to be a fascinating work, but it would also be a frightening work at the same time. These are for the lost sheep of Israel, and he wanted them to go find them. This would cause these men to be delivered over to the courts because of whose authority they were doing this by. And it would have them flogged in the synagogues. Can you imagine that? Having a flogging right there in the synagogue. And it was because of the one who gave them authority, who was claiming to be the great I am. These 12 men would be hated for the namesake of Jesus. These men needed one another. They needed each other. In fact, over in Luke's account of this, it isn't just the 12 that are sent out. After those 12 come back, he then sends out another 72 together. He gives them the same instructions that he gives the 12. And these disciples were to go with partners in the gospel. This is an important part of this sending. Why does he send them out in pairs? Well, there are several reasons, and like a good sermon, I'm going to give you three. I'll give you 3 points. There are probably more reasons, but we're going to stick to these three this morning. And I want us to think about why we need the same system as brothers and sisters in the faith. So let's look at this. Jesus sends these men out two by two. The first reason is this. We all have different gifts and different weaknesses. Each of these men were equipped with different strengths, different skills, different abilities. Some might have been able to speak well in public, while others were gifted in the serving part. One person might have the ability to discern whether that home was worthy to stay in, as it says in verse 13. Or maybe another might know when it's time to leave a town, as Jesus suggests in verse 14 and 15. The church today needs people of all kinds of gifts, all manners of strength, every kind of skill in reaching people for the kingdom. We at 29th, we need people of all skills and all abilities for the ministry opportunities that come to us. Maybe your gift isn't public speaking, but you're great at serving. In fact, you know, we have such an opportunity for you. We will be over at the Contact Church serving lunch next Sunday. We sure could use your help in being the hands and feet of Jesus in serving these wonderful brothers and sisters in Jesus. This is a simple meal to love these people. Or maybe you don't do well in a big group like that, but maybe you're great with kids. Well, we have such an opportunity for you. I know that on the 22nd, Felicia's putting together an event where we will give parents a night out, and we will watch kids and give them activities to do while their parents have a little bit of time off to spend together. Or maybe you're not so great with kids. That's okay. We can use your hands to help with things around the building or even in our worship assemblies on Sundays. There are so many ways that we can help and be part of the church and unite with one another. I hope you'll see that, you know, I'm mentioning specific things. I'm not telling you to do those things, but I'm suggesting that these are the opportunities that we have before us all the time. Paul writes about this necessity to the church in Corinth. In chapter 12, he gives them a lengthy lesson on how every body part is necessary, that there are all kinds of gifts in the one Spirit of God. He tells them in verse 14 that there are many parts to the body. And through the rest of this thought, He says, because you're not this part doesn't mean that you're unimportant. He tells us of how important you really are. And we cannot say to the other parts of the body, I don't need you. The truth is, I do. If I didn't have you, I couldn't walk. I couldn't see. I might not be able to hear. Why does Paul say this? Well, if you look at verses 24 through 26, he tells us why. 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. God has so composed the body that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. We need each other, and Jesus knew that. Before the formation of the first century church, Jesus sent his disciples out with a partner to learn how to love the gifts of another person. We learn how to appreciate what we do not have the ability to do. And we get the blessing to encourage someone else who might not have our abilities. Well, the second reason that Jesus sends them out in twos is that we need accountability. These men needed to know that this mission wasn't about them. It was about the gospel. Jesus was sending his disciples to teach who he was. It could have been easy to become like many of these traveling religious peddlers. You know, they had many magicians and zealots, religious cult leaders, other eccentric philosophers who would travel around and gain an audience. It was how they earned a living. That's how they got by. And they would live off the naivety of those that they could find that were the most gullible to hear a new story or see an exciting miracle done by sleight of hand. So why did Jesus send them out with a partner? He did that to have someone to help keep them straight. He told them to do these powerful miracles in the name of Jesus because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. To see these men performing the same miracles that Jesus performed, it would have been just as amazing to see that, even if Jesus wasn't there doing it. But they would also do this with no intention of asking for anything for what they did. The religious peddlers would ask for money, fame, fortune, and they weren't going to ask for anything. No money, no food. They were to accept the hospitality of the people in each town. It could be easy for some of these men to receive some sort of adulation that got their egos up, got them excited that, hey, maybe I could make some money doing this. But as Jesus said in verse 16, he said, be careful. He's sending them out into a dangerous world. Don't fall prey to this world's schemes. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. These disciples needed a partner to keep them accountable to the mission and not get lost thinking about their own livelihoods. They needed someone standing by their side to remind them of their mission. Well, finally, the third reason here that Jesus sends them out with a buddy is because they need a shoulder to lean on. Jesus tells them up front, this is not going to be easy. Just as he would later be accused and persecuted, just as Jesus would be flogged and beaten, these disciples may experience this too. And he tells them in verse 22, Matthew 10, verse 22, you will be hated because of me. And he gives them examples of everything they may experience. You're going to need a friend to lean on through these difficult times. Don't we need that too? We need someone to walk beside us, give us the comfort and the encouragement when things aren't going well. There will be times when our faith is being pressed on by the world around us, and we need one another to help bear these burdens. If we were to try to serve this mission alone, we might not be successful. We might easily give up When we are struggling to be the best example of Jesus, we may walk away. Jesus didn't want that for his disciples. He didn't want it for them then, and he doesn't want it for us today. As disciples of Jesus, we need each other. As our title today suggests, brothers and sisters go together. We have to walk beside each other. No matter how tough it gets, knowing that we have someone there next to us to support us and encourage us, we can make it. This kingdom message is too important. The gospel good news is so great. We need each other. This is why we cannot lose our unity. We must be united with one another to keep going. We may disagree with one another, but we can be reminded of the mission and walk together anyway. We can be united even when we don't agree on every tenet of the faith and every dot of doctrine. Why? Well, there are more important things to do. We must be the example of unity that the kingdom will see an increase. What an awesome example that would be when people see that you and I may not agree on everything, but we love each other and we are taking this message together into the world. Brothers and sisters need one another as we go into this world because it won't be easy. Well, near Jesus' arrest, he prayed a prayer. The heading that you might have in your Bible might say something like a high priestly prayer or something like that. It's in John chapter 17. The example that Jesus started with them going out in pairs was so that they would continue doing this after his death. He prays for them to never forget it. So we're going to read a portion of John chapter 17 together. This is not the whole prayer, but we're going to read a part of it starting in verse 6. So let's read this together. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Jesus' prayer parallels his sending of them out. His prayer isn't to keep them from the world, but to protect them as they live in this world, as they teach in this world, as they show unity in this world. His prayer is for all his disciples, I believe us included. And this is my prayer for us this morning as well. May we share our gifts with one another to be a powerful body. May we remind one another of our purpose and keep each other accountable when we might not be doing the right thing. May we be shoulders to lean on. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Keep each other going when the work is discouraging. May we be the people who show our love for one another. May we be the people who unite even in our disagreements. This is certainly a challenge. This is not something that's going to be easy. Jesus reminded us this would not be easy. But with one another, we can do this. We can serve this mission. And if this is something that maybe you have a difficulty with, a struggle with, we want to pray with you. I want to pray with you this morning. And I invite you that as we have our invitation song, that we would give you an opportunity, to come forward and I will pray with you this morning. Maybe if you don't feel like you could come forward right now, find us afterward. Find myself or one of the elders afterward, and we would love to pray with you this morning. Whatever need you might have, let's stand together. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and this is an opportunity. So let's come, let's stand and sing this song.
I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy wounds open.